Welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlicks.com. PureFlicks.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, and welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast. I'm Billy Hollowell, and we have got a very, very packed show for you. But before we dive into the show, I want to talk about some of the headlines that are over at insider.pureflix.com. That is our blog over at Pure Flicks, and we cover all sorts of things over there. I mean, I would tell you, and it's not just because I get a chance to write the content, that this is amazing stuff. It is daily content that will inspire you, that will give you some great ideas of what to watch on Pure Flicks. But beyond that, really just journey with you. And so some of the stories right now that are trending on the Insider, we've got 25 short Bible verses for when you're on the go. So some great Bible verses you could check out there. We have a story about Matthew McConaughey opening up about what it is like to be a Christian in Hollywood. And we also answer one of your questions. We get a question a lot over at Pure Flicks about why some of our actors aren't Christians, or whether all of the actors in Pure Flicks shows and movies are Christians. And so we got a great little response over to that on the Insider. Again, it's insider.pureflix.com. And the other trending article, and this just gives you a sense of the diversity of the stories that we've got, is one that's titled Signs of the End Times, Are They Upon Us? And so we dive into the theology there. Obviously, that's not a piece meant to scare people. It's a piece meant to give you information about what the Bible says. And we've got a handy little guide that you can download as well that dives deeper into end times theology and what is in Scripture. And so lots of other news stories, lots of really uplifting stories. We've got a police chaplain who delivers a passionate prayer. You could check that out. We've got the star of Black Panther talking about why she's inspired by John 3:16 and what she's done as a result of her faith. We've got Kanye West breaking down his favorite preaching style. So there is no shortage of content over on the Insider. Check that all out today. Now, with no further ado, I want to dive into our interview because we have got a great interview with Macy McLean Stanley. And if you don't know Macy, she is the star of I'm Not Ashamed. It's a movie that is streaming right now over at Pure Flicks. And I'm Not Ashamed is about Rachel Joy Scott. She was a student at Columbine High School. She lost her life during that horrific shooting. And she was a Christian and had a very strong, amazing faith, and her story is just incredible, and the ways in which God has used her story to reach people not only all over America but all over the world. It's absolutely incredible, and so you get a chance to really see her story be played out through I'm Not Ashamed. And so with no further ado, I want to welcome Macy McLean, the star of that movie, to the Pure Flicks Podcast right now. Hey Macy, how's it going?
Hey, going good.
So it's been a while since we've last talked, and obviously we've been living in this pandemic. This like 2020 has been crazy. What has it been like for you guys?
It's been, I mean, just, 2020. I just feel like it's like the scarring year for everyone. For us, especially when it started, it was crazy. Of just, I think everyone just being like, "What in the world is going on?" But now, we live in a little town south of Atlanta. So we are kind of tucked away from everything in a weird sense. So it feels a little bit removed here, but, we're doing good. Somehow we have both, me and my husband have both stayed super busy, but in a good way. And filming wise, I haven't, filmed anything for, you know, since 2019. And I probably won't again until 2021.
But, so crazy. That's so wild to me. Wow.
I know. I do wonder, like, with the music industry and with, you know, the film industry, I do have a friend that's working on a film right now in Atlanta. And she was just saying, you know, the protocol they have to do now because of COVID is just, it is the hardest thing.
Yeah, it's like multiple tests a week. There's so many elements of it that are so crazy.
Yes. Masks, you know, just like 24/7 on set and until the cameras are rolling, which is just in your, you know, quarantined together. So, I mean, they're doing it, like you do what you have to do, but it's a different Different world.
It's a totally different world. And you know, you've had such an interesting, you know, journey and career into Hollywood. And so I wanted to kind of, I guess, just start. And I know it's a question we've talked about before, and it's something you've been asked about a lot. But you know, being a Christian who's working in Hollywood, what are the challenges? Like, what are the challenges? What are the cool opportunities? Like, just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I would say I love my job so much. And it's funny when people tell me they want to be an actor or something, I tell them, like, make sure you love it and make sure you're called to it. Because if you're not, you will actually hate your life.
Yeah, it's not an easy job.
No, I think people a lot of times see the glamorous parts. Like they see, you know, on Instagram, like you were at a premiere or like whatever, or you're on set, but it is, most of the job is just unknowns, auditions, a lot of rejection. And then, like I said, when you're on set 12 hours a day, every day for, you know, 2 to 3 months, like you better love your job kind of thing. Yeah. And I love it. It just energizes me so much. But it's so funny. Like if my husband, he'll come on set with me sometimes and he's just like, how do you do this? Like, he's just, it just, you know, it would drive him nuts kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's hard.
And you love it. You know, you'll just, yeah, it'll energize you like anything. But yeah, I've just, since I was 15, just started pursuing acting. And then when I was in college, I remember I was looking around and just everyone else had these stable careers and majors, and they were going to be teachers and nurses and, you know, really stable things. And I was like, what am I doing? But the Lord just, anytime I ever tried to get out of this business of acting, like he would just make it abundantly clear, like, no, stay in it. So I realized in college that I loved it and I couldn't do anything else.
Is it challenging? I mean, like, is it challenging? I know a lot of people want to know this and you get asked this a lot, I'm sure, you know, holding on to your values, being a Christian, being in Hollywood, because Hollywood, every industry is tough, but Hollywood and the media, they have different dynamics to them than some of the others. So what's that dynamic like?
Yeah, it's definitely challenging. And when I'm talking to young actresses or something that'll come to me and ask, you know, how do I know, you know, if this is okay for me to do or not? I always decide it, like with a script. I mean, there's so many things. I mean, I get scripts all the time that are so morally, I wouldn't do in real life. So I'm not going to do on a script, kind of a thing. So if I'm like, if I wouldn't go out, and I know you're playing a character and that can be argued, but unless there's a redemptive purpose,
right,
for, you know, a quote unquote bad character, then I'm just not. But yeah, it just definitely takes the understanding of really an eternal perspective of this is just a blip in my life. And is it worth doing when my whole purpose in life is to glorify God? Like, can this glorify God or can it not? And if it
that's a powerful question. I love that.
Yeah. And really, I mean, my first source is, I always go to scripture of like, is this entertainment for the sake of like just nasty entertainment to make people laugh? You know what I mean? Or is there a redemptive purpose? And I ask myself all those questions. And there are certain black and white things that I won't do. And then there's certain times when I'm like, okay, every single script I evaluate and I pray about, and I'm like, can I do this or can I not? And it used to be a lot harder making those decisions, especially like when I was younger, because it would be a dream role. And I would be
right,
like, if there wasn't this one scene, then I can do this, you know? And then now I'm at the point now where anything I've ever done, God has just moved mountains for me to do. And it's just been, I almost look at these roles now as like they're my assignments. So I'm like, if I'm going to do it, like, God is so much bigger than any casting director, or any producer, or any decision, like, I will do it kind of a thing. And yeah, so he's just kind of, I guess, more made that confidence in him more firm. Because used to it would be like, oh my gosh, well, this was my dream thing. And okay, God, okay. But
or can I make it work? Like, can I just do it? Like, is it okay, yeah, if I just do it this? I was going to ask, is it painful? But you kind of answered that question to sometimes be like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Yes. Yeah, so I feel like used to be more painful. And now I'm just like, well, then that's just not what I'm supposed to do. Like, that is not my calling. That is not my zone. I will regret that later. Because what you do on film is out forever kind of thing.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always try to remember that. But yeah. And then
it's about purpose. Really awesome. It's about purpose, right? Like that's what you're talking about. Because having an eternal purpose and following that and not just following what we want to do. And that's the struggle we all face, no matter what it is that people are watching or listening, whatever they want to do. And I've always struggled with this. Like, well, what if I just do this project? And I've often found that the things I force to happen end up not panning out. Obviously, that wasn't what was meant to be. The things that, you know, are going to glorify God, that's what we're supposed to go towards. And that's a maturity thing. So it's amazing that you're there. I love that.
Well, and I think sometimes, I don't know, I think also it's just realizing God is so much bigger than we think he is sometimes. Like we think, oh man, I turned that down, so that's going to ruin my entire career, or like that's going to put me back, or that casting director is going to think I'm, you know, just like a goody two, I don't know, all these things. And I think we forget like God is so much bigger than that. And it's not up to, I really think everything just comes down to these little things of obedience. And he's just like, okay, are you going to be good? Like, no matter how small or how big it is, he's like, what are you going to do with every single step? And just trusting that he can do the unimaginable of, you know, he will promote you when it's time. He will, you know, lift your head when it's time. Like there's verses about that. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you when it's time. And so it's like, that's all up to him anyways. So you can do it the world's way and do it on your own, or you can truly trust that God, you know, knows what he's doing. So
that's such a good word. And you've had, I mean, you've done a lot of really interesting things. I'm Not Ashamed was, in my view, a really, I would imagine, difficult role. That's the film where you played Rachel Joy Scott. And obviously a real life story. It's the Columbine shooting and what she went through and losing her life in that. And you portrayed her in a really amazing way. What was it like to prepare for that role and to dive into it? Because that's a heavy, heavy role.
Yes, it was a very heavy role. But and also with that role, it was my first leading role in a film. So up until then, I'd done small things and on TV and just everything. But this was like, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I am way in over my head. And the cool thing is, though, I like that was so purposeful by God, because I had to be so dependent on God. Like, so just like, okay, God, you've called me to this, so I trust you're going to give me everything I need in every scene. And he surrounded me with the best people possible. Like, I had the most incredible director, Brian Baugh, that I just am dying to work with again one day. Great, you know, Benny Prophet is one of my favorite people ever. He's like my grandpa now, truly. But he was the head producer on that. And I don't know, I just feel like God put all the pieces together. But preparing for it, I got to talk to her mom too, and that helped a ton. I got to read all of Rachel's journals, which was, I can't even describe that experience. I just was like, it was one of those times when you just like almost tangibly feel the Holy Spirit with you, and you're just like, okay, wow. But it was just, I knew I was in over my head, and that was a good thing. Because I didn't go into it like, I'm going to nail this. Like, I was like, God, I am just going to be so present and do my homework and prepare for this. But I need you to take this to a level that I can't.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, and it was one of the most intimate times I've ever had with the Lord on set. Like, I felt like I was almost in this little bubble with him of just, he really did just lead me through the whole process. So it was beyond special.
And again, heavy topic, the Columbine shooting, which is a horrific event. And when you were talking about her journals, I got chills because I remembered reading Rachel's tears years ago and reading through some of those entries and the very bizarre, and I say bizarre in a positive way, like strange moments of things like the drawing of the tears. And for those who don't know, read Rachel's tears, watch the film, because you'll see these things. But the almost prophetic moments that unfolded through that journal in her life. And watching you act that out, I mean, it's really amazing. So for you going through that, and you said it was a really intimate time between you and God, what was the biggest lesson that you took away from that film?
Whew. You know, I think something like I love is like, I'm a dreamer at heart. Like, I love to go after the big things and, you know, just dream of like, okay, what can I do? But I think, and everyone took away different things from this film, but one of the biggest things I took away was Rachel was just so present where she was, and just at a high school as a 17-year-old girl, she saw the people in front of her. Like, she didn't look past them. Like, she truly was like Jesus calls us to be. She like saw the hurting and she ran to them, and she like saw the need and she met it. But I think a lot of times we can get so distracted with life and, you know, the big things that we're supposed to do, or, you know, especially nowadays with social media and just, it's a different world. But she was just really faithful where she was, and she had no idea that we would still be talking about her today.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah. And it's not like she was never on a stage. She was never, you know, she never had a platform. Like, it wasn't about that. It's like I said earlier, like, God is the one that exalts. And she was just faithful where God put her and just obedient and everything. And she struggled. She was not some perfect. And that was something her mom just wanted to make sure that even I knew. She was like, Rachel was not some unattainable, perfect person by any means. Like, in our mind, we can kind of, you know, look at it in rose colored lenses and, you know, she's
exactly.
Some saint, but she was like, she was a normal girl and she struggled a lot. And she, you know, messed up the same as we all do. And, you know, but she really just sought the heart of God. And I think back to what you said about purpose, she knew her purpose. And that was just to be faithful where God put her and to show Jesus to those people. And she did it. And I remind myself of that, honestly, often, of like, that's my purpose.
And that's amazing. It's amazing. And you made that point too. Like, she never would have thought that we'd be sitting here talking about her and this horrific event that people chose to do. And it's so shocking still all these years later, you know, the way that God takes any event and uses it for his own purposes. Right. And I'm saying that in a positive way of saying, you know, we make bad, horrible decisions. People do these horrific things. And, you know, you see how her story has touched so many people's lives. And then the film has touched so many people's lives. So it's amazing to see that. Now, you're a singer, you're an actress, and you're also an author. And so I want to talk about It's Worth It. Why did you write that book?
You know, it's funny, like even talking about obedience earlier. So before I booked I'm Not Ashamed, I was in a just kind of one of those limbo times where I didn't know what I was supposed to do with my life. I was like, I was auditioning all the time, but I was like, God, am I really supposed to do this? And I don't know. I was just in this weird, I was in college. I just didn't know. And I felt like God really put on my heart, start writing. So I just started writing, and there was no platform to put anything out on. Like, it was just, I was like, okay. So I just started writing these devotions, and I ended up having 21 days. And right after I filmed I'm Not Ashamed, a publisher contacted me and he was like, Macy, would you ever be interested in writing a devotional? And I was like, you know what? I actually have 21 days.
I've already done this. Like, I'm ready.
I was about to ask you for a 21 day devotional.
Wow.
So it was one of those little, like, even Rachel talks about if, like, in her journals of like the nudges of the Holy Spirit. And like, when he just says, do something, just do it, because you just don't know. And that time in my life was so busy anyway. So it was so cool that I'd already had so much material that I'd already written. So what was cool, after I did the film, I was able to go back and just through a new lens after filming and incorporating Rachel's life, just kind of like meshing the two things together and then just completing the 21 days. But it was just really cool. I just really felt like the Lord laid it on my heart at first. And then after the film, it just was, he gave me new things to put in it. And I was just really thankful of that process.
That's amazing. And it's so, again, it goes back to that whole purpose thing. And sometimes we're not listening. I've spent like the majority of my life, and I'm 37 now, I probably spent 32 years of my life as a Christian, but kind of like, I'm going to do my own thing. I want to do this. I want to do that. Yeah, I love God, but like following my own way. And it's like, when you listen, the things that happen, like, you wrote 21 devotional, like, right. It's crazy. And then
I'm
it's like,
that's only God.
Right, right. And it's amazing to hear that. It's encouraging, because I think it encourages people to listen more and to actually spend the time trying to hear what God is trying to say, instead of trying to make God hear us all the time, which is not bad, right? But, right. You know, I think we let our own will cloud us sometimes.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times we want to figure it out. Like, why would God tell me to do that? You know what I mean? Like, I had no idea that would be in a book one day, but he never really shows us the full picture. He's just like, you know, as he even says, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. He doesn't light up the room. Like, he puts the lamp like right in front of the next step.
Yeah.
And it's like, take the next step. You never know what's in the whole room, but we'll, you know, at the end, you'll be like, oh my gosh, like he knew exactly what he was doing. Just got to listen.
That's amazing. So we're going to link out, make sure people grab copies of the book. But I also have to ask you, because I don't know if I know this. It sounds like your faith was pretty rooted in college. But what was your faith journey? Were you like lifetime Christian, you know, since birth or?
So my since birth, yeah. Came out of the womb.
You just came out, you were immediately a Christian. But like, so what's your journey there?
So my dad is actually a pastor. And so I grew up knowing, you know, Jesus, and that we just always talked about the Lord like it was just normal. And even, you know, a lot of times when I would tell people I was a pastor's kid, I would always get like the
the PK syndrome, like everyone knows.
Like, not a terrible path, like it's just this terrible rap that follows pastor's kids. But honestly, I really felt like growing up my parents did a great job of just like, we didn't follow Jesus because we were pastor's kids. Like it was just, you know, we did because we loved him and all because right. Jesus has done for us. Like, I just felt like I was like, you know, that was just ingrained into our family. We did devotions all the time. My parents just talked about the Lord like it was, you know, natural.
Right.
And, but when I was 7 years old is when I asked the Lord to come into my life. And I was actually at a revival service. And it was one of those moments where they did an altar call. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people say, you know, like even with the heaven and hell stuff, like you don't want to, you know, just get saved because you're scared of hell or anything like that. But honestly, like for me, I was like, oh my gosh, like if this is real, I want to know all the facts. Like I want to know if this is a real thing. And so it's just something registered in me, and just the Holy Spirit just was like, look what Jesus has done for you, you know, to give you everlasting life. And, I told my dad I wanted to ask the Lord into my heart, and he prayed with me. And it's so funny because apparently I was a terrible kid. Like when I say terrible, I mean, I was devious. I was just horrible. And my parents were so concerned about me because they're like, if this child does not get saved, like she is going to be
a total really nightmare.
Terrible. And they would pray over me all the time. Like when I was asleep, I never knew it, but they would like come in my room and like lay hands on me and pray over me. And my dad still to this day, it's just funny to me. He says, when you got saved, he was like, I've never seen a child be completely different the next day. He was like, the Holy Spirit just like took you over. So I'm just
That's
really
amazing.
Thankful for that. But you know, at a young age, but, and then, yeah, just honestly, since then, I've just been like, you know, growing in the Lord and, sanctification and all that stuff. And
it's a process. It's a lifetime process. Yeah.
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 In high school, I started like really getting serious about the Lord. And then in college, I feel like I always tell people that's when I just fell in love with Jesus. Like it just, especially on your own, when you're not with your parents, you just even realize on a deeper level, like why you live the way you do, what your purpose is. And I don't know, it was a sweet time with the Lord. So, but in all of that, it's been a journey. Like it has not just been smooth sailing, you know, peachy, whatever.
Yeah.
All the time. Like
it's a roller coaster.
It's been rocky times.
Yeah,
for sure. I don't want people to think, oh my gosh, it's been easy. But it's, I don't want to, I'm not saying this because of the book, but it truly is worth it. Like there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no better decision than to follow Jesus.
I love that. I love that. Well, so where can people follow you and also get copies of the book?
Yeah, you can Instagram, all the socials. I'm not really, you know, I'm not an active Twitter or Facebook person. They overwhelm me. It's just, I don't know.
So it's really a lot.
It's a lot. It's like, I don't know. I'm just not a tweeter.
It's hard.
Yeah, but I love when people are, but so really Instagram is the main place that I do anything on. But it's just at Macy McLean. Everyone spells my name wrong. So it's MaseyMclain.
That's awesome. And the book, where can they grab the book?
The book is Amazon's probably the easiest place. Actually, I'm pretty sure it's on a great sale right now. I think it's like $7 right now.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's usually 12. So I would say get it now.
Go get it. Go get it right now.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been great. We have to have you back again sometime soon.
I love it. Thanks so much. It's been good talking to you.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to PureFlix.com right now to start your free trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
That was a great interview with Macy McLean Stanley. I'm Billy Hollowell, and you are listening to the Pure Flix podcast. And we are rounding out to the end of our show right now. But I want to just encourage you guys, check out the Edify Podcast Network. Go over to the Edify app. It's E-D-I-F-I. You can find it in Apple and Android and the stores there. You could download that app and listen to literally thousands of Christian podcasts, including the Pure Flix podcast, on that app today. It is a free app. And honestly, there's some great original shows there as well. And we are one of the shows that is aligned and part of that podcast network. So I hope you'll check out Edify today. And I hope you'll head over to insider.pureflix.com, check out the content, read what we have for you, and go to our Facebook page. I mean, there's so many great ways to connect with us. And at the end of the day, if you're looking for amazing entertainment, if you're looking for faith and family-friendly movies, TV shows, documentaries, and original series, head over to pureflix.com today. Become a member of PureFlix. You can also try it out. There's a free trial, which is always amazing. I love free stuff, so head over and check that out today. And I will see you guys next week for another episode of the Pure Flix podcast.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow Pure Flix on Facebook at facebook.com/pureflix and on Twitter at Pure Flix. And be sure to log on today to pureflix.com for thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the Pure Flix podcast.